Here on X's and Bros on the Michigan Sports Network, I'm Dennis Fithian. We are beginning today with a friendly voice as we talk about the Detroit Lions with the draft taking place tomorrow. It is here. The speculation is rampant. It's been going on for months, and now we actually get to see how it is all going to play out tomorrow night in Detroit. How about that? All right, we have an open line available for you at 866-838-4843. That's the Meyer hotline, 866-838-4843. I enjoy texts. 21,000 text sports radio to 21,000. Ben will alert us, and we will read through those texts. You got questions, you got comments. We've got open topics. If you know you are not someone that is interested in the NFL draft or commenting in on a bust or sure thing or what you think the Lions are going to do, that's fine. You're an NBA guy, you're an NHL guy, you want to talk about the Tigers, I'm good with all of that. Now, my favorite things to talk about: football, basketball, hockey, and baseball. Those are the big four. Now, there's other things. I like golf. I like tennis. And, you know, there are probably some other things that I could put in there. But the four major food groups: football, basketball, hockey, and baseball. Speaking of baseball, the Tigers are staying relevant. And that is good news for baseball fans around here, as we have seen it go sideways even before tax day. But the Tigers, they take their second game against the Rays after beating up on Tampa 7-1. On a Monday, Tigers last night double up the Rays 4-2. And the big thing about that game is you got Riley Green. Hits not one, but two homers. First multi-home run game in Green's career. And the Tigers are sitting four games above 500. Four runs, they just had six hits, but three of those hits were homers. And that's making them count. And it's early in the season, and I don't know if in a week, let alone a month, I'll be talking about Buddy Kennedy. But Buddy Kennedy hit a home run recently. And, of course, you know, I actually do know somebody named Buddy. Buddy M. He's a teacher. And it's always great to say, hey, Buddy. Well, the Tigers have a Buddy now. And when old Buddy hit that home run a while back, I was like, Buddy boy. And then here I was last night with Buddy Kennedy running in, barehanding a ball down the third baseline and firing it over the first. One of the better, Buddy looked like Brooks Robinson over there at the hot corner, or I don't know, Aurelio Rodriguez, and firing out and making a great play. But I'm a fan of Buddy Kennedy for the Tigers, who go for the sweep today, 6:50, Jack Flaherty on the mound. Now, I'm going to give you a bust and a sure thing as I look through this draft. My thoughts on it. If you have one, you can certainly throw it our way. Also, coming up at 8:19, I have listed out what I think are the most intriguing parts of the NFL draft. We'll see if you agree or disagree coming up at 8:19. Right now, we are going to go to the phones and the Meyer hotline, and Mark is up in Saginaw, and he joins us here on X's and Bros. What's going on, Mark?
Hey, Dennis, how are you?
I'm doing really good. I'm doing better now that I can hear from you.
Hey, thanks a lot, Dennis. Good show. I appreciate it. Hey, two things really quick. I've got a pick, but first, I've got kind of a different position on the Dan Campbell being a gambler and all that. And I don't know. I mean, you know, you'd have to be at practice every day, and I'm not there, obviously. But the thing with Campbell is I think he rides with his best unit, which has obviously been the offense and the offensive line. In that game against San Francisco, I still think he wanted to possess the ball. He did not want to give San Francisco the ball to run time off the clock. He wanted to shrink the game. The position that Campbell's in is that, you know, after the game was over, he goes for the field goal. He can't sit there and say, you know, I didn't want to risk the field goal because my defense sucks. The defense didn't stop anybody. And I think his fear of turning the game over to the San Francisco 49ers and not having a defense being able to get a stop plays into whether or not he wants to kick the field goal. And I'm not saying that Campbell doesn't take chances, but I'm just saying that if he gets a defense that's got more of an ability to be dominant and stop people, I think you'll see his decision-making be a little bit different in the future.
Well, I think it's a great point. And that's, you know, Mark, heading into the draft, if you just look, they'll put a graphic up. They'll say, hey, these Detroit Lions who made the NFC Championship game, they had the third best offense last year. Meanwhile, their defense ranked 27th, their pass defense, and 19th total. So to your point, get a defense that you could feel like you could hang on. And, you know, things could be different. I like the point.
Yeah, I just think that, you know, you brought this up, and I think this was astute on your part. If the offense executes in the second half and they possess the ball. San Francisco wouldn't have had much of a chance to come back.
No doubt. Like, if they do we could probably list about five things. Not fumbling, not having that, you know, ball hit somebody in a black swan situation. If you don't drop passes that are right in your breadbasket, guys that are normally, you know, pretty shorthanded. I mean, a bunch of different things that you could get into where, you know, that game's going to be a little bit different. And, you know, even though I said that Dan Campbell would hit on 20 at the blackjack table, he doesn't always go for it. I mean, he doesn't always, you know, there have been times, I thought his first year that he did just go for it every time. And I thought, oh, but then he did show a little diversity. And at times you're like, oh, wow, he's kicking the ball.
Yeah. And then just really quick on my pick, I think that they're going to go for this Darius, the edge rusher. Is it Robinson or is it? Who's the fella? I can't remember his last name. I think they're going to go for that edge rusher if they get a shot at it. What do you think?
Yeah, well, I think edge rusher is, you know, we just talked about their total defense being 19th. They're very stout against the run right there in the middle, and they got DJ Reader. I don't think that there's a better tandem of tackles and run stoppers. McNeil's been fabulous, but they got Reader from the Bengals, and so the pass defense, they picked up two corners, one via trade with the Bucs, and then one they signed in free agents in Robinson. They also got Davenport, a defensive end. I think defensive end is definitely something that they could look to. Nothing's going to help out your pass defense better than putting on pressure from the quarterback. Nothing's going to help Aiden Hutchinson on the one side if you've got somebody else on the other side that can also get in if the quarterback. Mark, I think I think you're right on. I think if they're the card goes up there and it's a defensive end, whichever one. Now, that one might be one that they have to move up and get, but I definitely think defensive end. Hey, I appreciate it, Mark. Thanks so much for getting in. Coming up straight ahead, the most intriguing parts of the NFL draft. I'll get that plus more of your calls here on X's and Bros on the Michigan Sports Network.
in the den.
Step up to the plate with Eagle Casino and Sports, the mobile sportsbook app that you can bet on all your favorites all year round, including, of course, our national pastime. So download the app and start winning today at Eagle Casino and Sports. Made in Michigan, made for Michigan. Must be 21 years or older and in Michigan to play.
This is Matt Shepard. The Tigers are in the midst of a series in Tampa against the respected Rays. Tampa has reached the playoffs in each of the last 5 years and finished no worse than third in the ever-competitive AL East 7 consecutive seasons. This while spending among the least amount of money on their roster. The Tigers have taken note of Tampa's success. It's done the old-fashioned way, draft and develop. Detroit actually spends a little more money than Tampa on its players, but they too must rely on drafting and grooming talented players like Green, Torkelson, Keith, Young, and Clark. Then the Tigers can jump into the discussion of legitimate divisional threats each season, just like the Rays.
June 23rd, the world's most notorious rock band is coming to Soaring Eagle Casino. Motley Crue. The Crue. Part of the Soaring Eagle Summer Outdoor Concert Series. Tickets start at $54 and are on sale now at the box office and online at etix.com. Party hard, then take a ride on the wild side. Motley Crue. Sunday, June 23rd at Soaring Eagle Casino and Resort.
X's and Bros on the Michigan Sports Network. I'm Dennis Fithian. I am in for Matt Shepard. Talking with you at 866-838-4843 on the Meyer Hotline. You know that number, 866-838-4843. Love hearing from you. Also like to hear from the people via text. Text Sports Radio to 21,000. We'll get your thoughts in on what's happening in the world of sports. What's happening in the world of sports is that the draft is taking place tomorrow in Detroit. And we have been talking a lot about that right now. A bust and a sure thing as I take a look at it. And I am going to get to that. Now, just listening to the people this morning, we have just last segment, Mark. He wanted to see a defensive end from Missouri, Darius Robinson. Possibility of the Lions moving up to get him. Earlier in the hour, moving up to get the maybe top defensive end. And Latu from UCLA was suggested. We had a guest last hour, Trevor McHugh. Pick Chop Robinson. Defensive end. I'm seeing the trend. The people this morning are thinking defensive end. It makes a lot of sense for the Detroit Lions to get a defensive end, and you get a card that says, Jared Verse, Chop Robinson. The fans are going to go crazy in Detroit. I was going to say something crazy. If it was a quarterback, you know, that the Lions would pick, I wouldn't see that. But I also, you know, Hendon Hooker, I don't know. They've had a year. Could they have soured on him and look at him like, oh, this guy, you know, I don't think so. But could there be a combination of, one of those six quarterbacks? Let's say, Nix could be the one that would fall. And in the Lions evaluation, they have Nix as the third best QB, maybe second best QB, and that they've soured Nix a little bit, and they're sitting there and thinking, hey, why not? Seems crazy and would be wild, but, you know, Brad Holmes, does he have the guts? I've seen Brad Holmes. It sounds weird saying that he's got the guts to pretty much do about anything up there at 29. We've seen him move up. We've seen him move back. All of that. Before I go to the phones, I'm going to give you my bust and my sure thing. Now, if I start ripping off, like five guys, like I'm just going to give you one on each side. I think as far as a bust, if I have to pick one, it's going to be Drake May, the quarterback from North Carolina. Drake May has been listed for more than just a year. It's been talked about for more than a year as this great, maybe number one overall quarterback. So, like you, I'll tune in once in a while if North Carolina is on to watch the great Drake May. I have not been all that impressed. Now, two things that you really don't want to hear from somebody evaluating a quarterback that don't really matter, but I'm going to say them anyways because I can't get away from it. It doesn't matter that Mitchell Trubisky was a bust and went to North Carolina, but it gives me the vibes. He gives me Trubisky vibes, even though it doesn't matter. The other thing is that Drake May never in a big spot has done anything to win a game for the Tar Heels. Now, he's just all prospect. Has he won a big game? Has he played great in a big spot? I'm going to say no to those points. Now, he does look like Justin Herbert. And Matt Hasselbeck, who has worked for ESPN for, I think, about 10 years. He was putting over putting out the quarterbacks that he's evaluating. He said he's watched every game, every throw. I have not watched every game and every throw. But Hasselbeck says that he has, and he puts him, out of the last 10 years, one of the top five prospects that he's evaluated. So, you know, people are, you know, all over on him. I get that part. He's got to sit for a year, and he looks like he's going to be picked in one of the top three picks. May will be a bust. Meanwhile, the three wide receivers, I think, are all sure things at the top, and that's Neighbors, Odunze, and the pick that I'm going to go that's the surest thing out of all of them is Maserati Marvin Harrison. I can't see him being a bust. Now, I'll get to the intrigue. He is one of them, and those receivers are as well. But first, let's go to the phones and up to West Branch. And here is Mark on X's and Bros. Hi, Mark.
Hey, Dennis. Great to hear from you. It's like talking to an old friend. I used to listen to you all the time on the other station where you guys used to talk about Michigan football all the time, and I listen every morning. So great to hear your voice. Hopefully you had a chance to talk about Michigan football this past year, since it was a pretty good year.
Well, you know, I like talking about Michigan football. You are right about that, Mark. And actually, the last 3 years have been just, how would I put the last, dreamlike. And then culminating in this past season. So, yeah, it's been a cloud nine situation when it comes to Michigan football.
Yeah, I'm with you there. It's my favorite sport, and it was just fantastic. Rough ride, but in the end, it all got done, so that was great. Hey, I did want to talk about the Lions, though. That's what you're talking about. I like your bust and your sure things. I think those receivers are all good. I agree. And Drake May, I don't understand why they're talking about him being a top three pick. I don't understand it either. So I actually agree with you on all of that. But with the Lions, I'd like to see them come out of this draft with a starting edge and a starting corner. They could get out of this draft with those two positions filled, even if they have to give up picks along the way to get that defense playing the way they need to. And I think they're two spots away. You get a good edge and another corner, and you may be able to solve that passing game problem against. So those are my thoughts. Great to hear you, Dennis. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, Mark, for getting in. Appreciate the thoughts there. And hey, you're staring at this Lions team. You think pass defense 27th in the league last year, with a total defense at 19. So if their first two picks, you're telling me they go edge and corner, I'm saying that is addressing their biggest needs. And, you know, at 29, there's a lot of corners. I mean, if you've been looking at how, the mock drafts, whatever you want to say, there are a bevy of guys who fit the bill when it comes to I think corners. Now Mitchell out of Toledo is going to be way gone. I would think that Terrion Arnold from Alabama would be gone before the Lions are thinking about picking. I think that Cooper DeJean, who is my pick for the Lions, Nate Wiggins, somebody is going to drop to the Lions at 29 when it comes down to the corners. And I believe if you look at the edge, you know, we've talked about the top ones, but, you know, Chop Robinson and Darius Robinson, the Robinsons, I could see being there when the Lions pick. And somebody, like I said, is going to fall. Feel like Jared Verse is going to go in the top 10. Maybe. But, you know, I've watched enough drafts to see somebody to fall right in their lap. I think an edge or a corner that's talked about as a top 15 will be sitting there, and the Lions will be like, great, and Lions fans will love it. We'll continue taking your calls. You get a bust. You get a sure thing. I will also, Mark talking about Michigan, where would I draft J.J. McCarthy? Where would you draft J.J. McCarthy? I want to hear from you on that. It's X's and Bros. The Michigan Sports Network.
Bill Simonson here for my good friend Josh Garvey. Now, he's a managing shareholder at Dorn Mayhew's Grand Rapids office. Their world headquarters are in Troy, Michigan, on the east side of the state, and they have locations all around the world. They have over 550 motivated accounting professionals, 90 years in business, and I mentioned the 10 offices worldwide. So if you want to connect and partner with one of the top CPA accounting and business firms in the world, they're right here in Michigan. Dorn Mayhew's Troy office on the east side of the state. And Josh Garvey is a managing shareholder for their Dorn Mayhew GR office. Right there by the S-curve, you'll see the new Dorn Mayhew sign. You can find out more. Just Google Dorn Mayhew. That's DoreenMayhew or Dorn.com. They're one of America's and the world's top CPA accounting and business firms. They're Dorn Mayhew.
We're teeing off our 10th year. At the Meijer LPGA Classic for Simply Give. Get ready for the best tour yet to help neighbors in need while enjoying golf, food, and family fun. Join us June 13th through the 16th at Blythefield Country Club for fabulous food, Discoveryland for kids, and of course, elite women golfers from around the world competing to help feed our neighbors. Get your tickets now at MeijerLPGAClassic.com.
In the morning on this Wednesday, I'm Dennis Fithian, pinch hitting for Matt Shepard today and tomorrow here on X's and Bros on the Michigan Sports Network. And it's been a fun ride so far, and I'm looking forward to talking with you. You can get in. We have open topics. Been talking a lot about the NFL draft, as you might expect, it being Christmas Eve, the eve of the NFL draft. The phone number, as always, is 866-838-4843. The Meijer hotline, 866-838-4843. Text Sports Radio to 21000. Like to hear from you there. What are your thoughts? Whether it's the draft, the Tigers, NHL, NBA playoffs, that's what that text is for. The phone lines are there as well for you. If you're thinking, I want to talk about something off the board, fire it up. I'm ready for you. Now, I am also into draft mode, and like a lot of people, I just watch it all, but it when it builds up and it is finally here, I am into the lingo and dancing bears and sand in your pants and hand size and arm length and everything else. I was just sitting here before I was coming back, and I was looking at an NFL draft guy who was asking a question that if you had to guess, what position would you think is the one where arm length is more important than any other position? And I immediately thought, tackle, offensive tackle. They're always talking about his arms are too short. And he says it's not tackle. Because he put at the end, I didn't see. Hint. No, not offensive line. And he says that it is corner. Cornerback. Well, that makes sense. You know what doesn't make sense all the time is that when you think about a corner, a prototypical corner, to me, you're thinking about 6 feet tall. You start getting a guy 6'2 and 6'3, he's like, well, now he's too tall to play corner. Well, you're getting wideouts that are 6'5. Sometimes, matchup-wise, you might need a bigger corner. But if you get the arm length and you get the loose hips and you can run and you've got that technique, well, you know, there it is. We've talked a lot and asked folks about who they want to see, and the pick for the Lions at 29. Well, of course, you can move up and you can move back because the Lions have done each of those things in the last two drafts. But defensive end has been the flavor of the morning here on X's and Bros. And I don't mind that pick. And you get a guy with some bend and some tilt and get around the edge, that's going to help this Lions team as much as anything else. Now, myself, I picked Cooper DeJean from Iowa. And as it was pointed out on Twitter, and you can see and find me on Twitter, at Dennis Fithian. Terry said he trusts the Holmes and the Detroit Lions to choose wisely. He says we've had good fortune picking from Iowa recently. Now, Terry is absolutely correct. It wasn't something that I was thinking about with the Cooper DeJean selection. What I was thinking about is that corner and safety are needs for the Lions, and that in the history of the draft, of myself watching it, there is usually a player or five that fall from the teens or certainly the early 20s towards the end of the draft. And I'm looking at, wow, DeJean, he can play corner, he can play safety. Could I see him falling to the Lions? Absolutely. And what I like to, that's the selection that I have made. But yeah, Iowa has been good. The Sam Laporta selection is still a little bit shocking to me. Shocking in that I don't watch film on every one of these prospects. I watch a lot of college football as much as anyone else out there. Well, I watch the early game on Saturday, the 3:30 games on Saturday, and I almost always watch whatever the big game of the week is on Saturday night. So that's a lot of college football, three games, but you can't see all these guys, and I'm not scouring over the tape and everything else. But my point is I saw Laporta a lot. Heck, I saw him against Michigan in the Big Ten championship game, and he wasn't somebody that wowed me. And yet the tight end from Notre Dame actually did wow me, and he went a selection after the Lions, and I thought, well, do the Lions really know what they're doing with this Laporta selection? And the answer is yes. It's one of the greatest picks that the Lions have ever made. And that's the thing about Brad Holmes. Sam Laporta is one of the greatest picks that the Lions ever made. I got to say that I think Jahmyr Gibbs is one of the greatest picks that the Lions have ever made. I got to go back to Holmes' first draft, and Penei Sewell was one of the greatest picks that the Lions have ever made. Aiden Hutchinson, certainly the Lions were just sitting there at number two, but that was a great pick by the Lions. And Brad Holmes. Also, Amon-Ra St. Brown, you get guys that can play later in the draft. Why, it's worth its weight in gold. That's how you become one of the better teams in the NFL. certainly hitting on your first round picks, that's nice. That's important. But finding guys after the second and third round, Amon-Ra St. Brown might be the greatest pick in Lions history. And Branch, the nickel that they got from Alabama, as soon as he was picked, I think everyone was like, that's a great pick. They didn't say that. I didn't say that about Gibbs. I didn't say that about Laporta. I did say that about Branch. He has been a great pick. Great pick after great pick after great pick from Brad Holmes. Moving up, moving back. This guy is got a lot of confidence. You have a lot of confidence in Brad Holmes, and you should. Let's go to Grand Rapids. That's where Brett is, and he joins us on X's and Bros. Hey, Brett.
Hey, Dennis. How you doing?
I'm doing good. Thanks for taking the time to call out this morning.
Hey, I got a couple things, all right? Not just you, but every commentator I've ever heard keeps talking about how great the Lions' defense was on run last year. But
yes,
when you had the most porous defense to throw against, why would you run against us? That's why our numbers are skewed to say we have a good run defense. We need to trade down and shore up our defensive line and pick up one of these 30 top corners that are in this draft. I mean, everybody's going offense in the first round. There's going to be so much value in the second round on the defensive side of the ball that we should trade down.
I don't mind a trade down. And, you know, the Brad Holmes traded down last year, and it worked out great for him. You know, I think that you might be right, like, that if it's so easy to pass, why not just pass? But we could go through game by game. There's been plenty of guys, just off the top of my head, when you think about the Lions' schedule from last year, that they were going against what you would say are, you know, top running backs. And the Lions still, I mean, they did try to run. Certainly it was easy, you know, throwing the ball. But they did try running the ball. And the Lions do have, you know, McNeil is a good defensive tackle. Reeder is a good defensive tackle. So they have the personnel there as well. So, I hear what you're saying, but I also think that they have good personnel. Reeder. Yeah.
I agree with Reeder, but McNeil, I don't see it. All you have to do is look at any running quarterback we faced. They don't escape to the outside. They escape right up through McNeil every time. We need athletic fat boys. And I'm sorry, McNeil's not one. I mean, I'm done waiting on him. And this Broderick Martin guy that's going to maybe play in 3 years. I mean, that was I love Brad Holmes, but that was stupid. To draft a prospect in the third round, that's just dumb. I mean, a kid from Western Kentucky and South Louisiana, Alabama State or whatever, you know. That's too high of a draft pick for that kind of a prospect. But I'm going to be late getting in. I just wanted to get in and let y'all know that I think that our run defense needs more help than our pass defense. Because if we can stop the run and with fat boys that can rush, we got a better chance.
All right. Well, I appreciate your thoughts. And, you know, that's what it's all about. I would have to go game by game. Like, that doesn't feel like what you're saying is 100% true. I hear your point about that it's real easy to pass on the Lions. So teams would just, you know, take the path of least resistance. Except that I, you know, would see him in goal line situations and short line situations, and they came up pretty big. As far as Holmes missing on a couple of guys of, what'd you call them, athletic fat guys? I don't know, who's the greatest drafter in NFL history? It's probably somebody from the Cowboys, Jimmy Johnson, when they were making along with, was it Gil Brandt that was making the picks for him? Along with Jimmy Johnson, Jerry Jones probably said, I was the one making the picks. He comes to mind. Parcells obviously is going to come to mind as he hit on a few guys late, but not every one of those guys. You can go through, you know, you're not hitting on every pick. But if you're hitting on enough and they're out there and they're playing for you, and some guys do have a longer, you know, not immediate impact, and it can take a little time on that. I remember when the Giants, I think it was their last Super Bowl run, if you look through, all seven picks played for them. And it was one of the big reasons that you get, now that was all of them. That doesn't happen very often. But you can get impact guys, and last year, they had impact guys. And Branch, obviously Laporta, and obviously when it comes to Gibbs. It's interesting to be able to dive through. And I was looking at Lions.com last night and reading their top draft story, and it said needs. And the first need, Brett, to your point, it said defensive tackle. Not defensive end, but defensive tackle. It also listed safety, offensive line, wide receiver, and corner as the Lions' top needs. Now, the thing about corner is that in free agency, Carlton Davis, they made that trade with Tampa. They got him, and then Robertson, they signed in free agency from the Raiders. My thought is, one of those guys ends up working out, you're doing pretty good. They took a flyer on Marcus Davenport, a defensive end, former first-rounder for the Saints. Now, a flyer is, he could be the answer opposite of Hutchinson, except that he can't stay on the field. He's always hurt. Doesn't mean he's going to be hurt for the Lions, but that's the question with him. Everybody likes the DJ Reader signing, defensive tackle. I also think everybody likes the Zeitler selection in free agency, the offensive guard for the Ravens. I mean, he's great. He's up a little longer in the tooth. You could say, hey, the Ravens, why would they be moving on? You know, you move on sometimes with your salary cap with excellent players. So all of that, they're in a great position where you could say they could be taking a pick. Like, offensive line is not an immediate need for the Lions, but they could take a tackle, a guard. Hell, they could take a center. I don't know if one is worthy of being selected at 29. But good teams, they're drafting where you get that best player, and you have the luxury where you're picking him for the future, not necessarily the future being that next year coming up. All right, I like it, Brett, mixing it up. Now, a lot of edges. Let's see if Ben Zost, who's been producing this show, and I could tell he is on the rise as a fabulous producer. Let's see, just by the way, he's been on the one and twos and working this show. Ben, if you had to make a selection at 29, Brad Holmes called up and said, Ben, give me the pick. Who would you take?
I think Chop Robinson. A lot of people have been talking about him. I like the idea of him on the opposite side of Aiden Hutchinson.
I do too. I would not be disappointed in Chop Robinson. I recall watching Michigan this year go to Penn State, and right out of the gate, Michigan couldn't block Chop Robinson. He was all over him. And it was one of the main points of that game. The Wolverines came to the conclusion that they couldn't stop Chop Robinson, so they didn't want J.J. McCarthy standing in the pocket and getting smashed by Robinson. So at halftime, they decided that they were going with the game plan of just running the ball. Now, J.J. got banged up too, but they didn't want to drop back the pass. It was a combination. McCarthy was hurt a little bit, and they couldn't block Robinson, so they just ran the ball every time. And you know, so that's a credit. When you completely change the game plan of a team, I mean, they ran 32 straight times in the second half, famously now, in a championship season, to run the ball with a guy that could be a top five quarterback picked in the NFL draft. And I see that that is cited oftentimes by folks who are talking draft about why they think what's the big deal with J.J. McCarthy, one of their biggest games dude wasn't even out there. They could have had anybody because they just ran it 32 times. Now, like I said, McCarthy was hurt. Got hurt in the first half. I think it was his ankle. And then also, they were doing a pretty good job running the ball. And they had the lead. So it was a combination of all those things. I actually understand. I was going to answer the question where I would draft J.J. McCarthy. When I hear the pundits say, well, yeah, I mean, they question him throwing the ball. And he didn't carry his team. I get all that, but, you know, watching him throw the ball, his classic throws from the pocket, that's what is going to make him, where he can make those throws on schedule, but that's also where he needs to be a little bit more consistent in those throws from the pocket, especially those 20, 30 yarders down the seam. He tightens that up a little bit. I could see him. I would not take him over Williams. I would not take him over Daniels, but I would take him at number three in tomorrow's draft. That's how I see it. Hey, thanks so much for joining us here. We're going to do it again tomorrow. Thanks to Matt Shepard for letting me get on in there. And Ben Zos, great job producing today. Look forward to being with you tomorrow. That's going to do it. I'm Dennis Fithian. Take care. X's and Bros on the Michigan Sports Network.
We played for the thrill, that rush you feel with the game on the line. I'm Herman Moore, Lions All-Pro wide receiver. Now, with Eagle Casino and Sports, the new sportsbook app from Soaring Eagle, anywhere I'm at, I'm still in the game.
Sign up now and get up to $1,000. That's right, up to $1,000 for a risk-free bet on your next favorite underdog, parlay, or prop.
Eagle Casino and Sports. Made in Michigan, made for Michigan.
Must be 21 or older in Michigan to play.
Huge cheer for my good friends from Flying Ace Whiskey. Now it's an American-made whiskey bottled right here in our great state of Michigan. And Flying Ace Whiskey has partnered with the Folds of Honor Michigan chapter to help Michigan children of men and women injured or killed in combat, and also the children of our first responders who are injured or die and making the ultimate sacrifice while serving and protecting. And there's a simple, easy way for you to donate with that money going to the Folds of Honor Michigan chapter. Look for the Flying Ace Whiskey bottle neckers on bottles all across the state of Michigan here over the next couple of weeks, and you can donate, and that money will go directly to the Folds of Honor Michigan program on behalf of Flying Ace Whiskey. And also, Flying Ace Whiskey has put up 4 scholarships for the children. Flying Ace Whiskey, an American-made whiskey, taking a lot of pride in America. Look for it in stores and pubs all across Michigan.
We're teeing off our 10th year. At the Meijer LPGA Classic for Simply Give. Get ready for the best tour yet to help neighbors in need while enjoying golf, food, and family fun. Join us June 13th through the 16th at Blythefield Country Club for fabulous food, Discoveryland for kids, and of course, elite women golfers from around the world competing to help feed our neighbors. Get your tickets now at MeijerLPGAClassic.com.
Roast Umber is a farm direct coffee sourced from Central American farmers and roasted in Grand Rapids. And also the Nitro Cold Brew Coffee is a convenient and healthy option for energy with no sugar additives. Look for it at your local retailer or at roastumber.com.
The Freddie the Pizza Man Foundation is dedicated to providing support to families and Michigan schools touched by autism. We invite you to join us in supporting these families and schools by making a donation at FreddieThePizzaMan.com. With your donation, you can help provide essential resources that can make a real impact. Visit FreddieThePizzaMan.com to make a donation and to learn more about the foundation's mission. That's FreddieThePizzaMan.com. Together, we can make a difference.